holding today at the Helicopteric. Who's going to give us a funk on the Helicopteric when Doc isn't here and Richie isn't here? What's with you guys over there in Cape Town anyway? Oh, only Akiva has shown up. It appears that until you join, Ariel over here, you're not going to get there on time. A new reason to consider moving. Nope, looks like we're not going to get a fight on the Helicopteric today. All right. What can you do? Okay. Today's Dafin, Masechet Nazir, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, is Daf Lamed Daled, and we are beginning the Helicopteric, the sixth Perek of Nazir. Fight on the Helicopteric. So, we're moving on, and this Perek, there's some very, very important issues that we're right now going to think is only about the overall question of what particular things are usher in the Nazir's state that the Torah has defined. But it's going to turn out that this Perek actually deals with some fundamental insights into the way the Torah is meant to be approached overall, which is quite amazing because, again, the issue of Naziris, remember, is a special quality in which we know that this is the Zehadavar, and that the Inyanim over here are oftentimes very unique. Here we have the opposite, in which an overall approach to Torah, which is the question of Klal Prado Klal, and Ribui Miut Ribui, which appear also in other places, but they have a very special presence in the Dinim of Nazir, along with one additional very special halacha, which is called Heter Mitztaref LeIsur, which we'll see is a machlokas over here, whether it's possible to actually utilize the bulk of something which is mutter to provide sufficient shiur together with something that is aser to aser. You know, all of this is based on the strange way that the Torah introduces the Isuri Achila of the Nazir. So the Nazir, it's like a very complicated pasuk. It says, "Miyayin v'shechar yazir." That seems pretty forward. "Chometz yayin v'chometz shechar lo yishteh." Okay, so it's telling us it doesn't have to be the wine itself. It could even be wine lower quality that's turned into vinegar. Then it says, "V'chol mishrat anavim lo yishteh." That's not very clear. It seems to be saying that anything that was soaked in things that came from grapes, you cannot drink, which sort of sounds like if you took a piece of bread and you dipped it into wine, so then the bread itself would become usur. Now, this opens up this new idea that perhaps the Torah is actually telling us that there's such a thing as the issues of something being usur extending onto some things that are mutter. I mean, that is possibly the sugya of tam ke'ikar. If it tastes like wine, then it might be usur. Or is it possibly telling us that the actual bulk is also included, which would be heter mitztaref le'iser? Or is there something else that it's telling us? All of this is already very strange in the pasuk. Then it goes on to say, v'anavim lachim v'yaveshim lo yochal. So the first part of the pasuk was talking about drinking. V'yayin v'shechar yazir, and then it included even vinegar. Then it moves on to start talking about foodstuffs. So it talks about anavim lachim, which are fresh grapes, v'yaveshim, which would be raisins, lo yochal. Okay, that seems to clarify things. And then it starts up again. Kol yemei nizro, mikol asher ye'aseh b'gefen ayayin. Uh-oh. So now we're talking about a general rule, which seems to have already included the previous things. Anything that comes from the grape vine, now all let's assume one pirush in this. All the way from the seeds to the outside skin, lo yochal. Now what in the world would that possibly be adding? So we've got a pasuk that is clearly constructed along lines that have to do with the midah shatar and the drashas behem, by mentioning specific elements and then talking more general elements and so on. We're going to have to figure out how our rules of Darshan the Pasuk apply, and that's why this is a very challenging sugya, specifically, even though it's so unique, in that it opens up the door to all types of understandings of how to Darshan the Torah in general. So let's take a look at the Mishnah. Shlosha minim asurim bin asir. So we know there are three general categories. The categories are Tuma, Tiglachas, and Ayotzi min HaGefen. Now, the most confusing of this is Ayotzi min HaGefen, and let's start with that. Kol Hayotzei min HaGefen mitzarfim zemzeh. So anything that's the product of the vine would be able to be part of the shiur, whatever that shiur is. I mean, I'm assuming the shiur would be a shiur of a kezayit, like it normally would be, except for the unfortunate fact that the Torah has sort of smushed together drinking and eating. So what happens then? Does the drinking become a kezayit like the eating, or does the eating become a revit like the drinking, or does each one keep to its own? And anyway, how could you have a kezayit of liquid? I mean, what would that mean, a kezayit of liquid? Well, it turns out you can have a kezayit of liquid. What would that be? Well, good old Archimedes. All you need to do is you take a kezayis and you put it into, because remember, a kezayis is a shear, remarkably, not as people think, as they measure it in somehow in weight, but the kezayit is actually a shear in volume. So if you take a kezayit and you put it into a full glass of wine, whatever spills out of that glass, which is collected in your Seder cup, in the little plate, whatever comes out of that is a kezayit of yayin. Interesting. So maybe the shear then of the wine would also be a kezayit. Or maybe it's the other way around. Maybe somehow the shear of a revius, which is defined also by volume, is what it is that we apply to the achila. Very confusing how you could list two completely different modalities of consumption together, because we have a general rule, remember, that things are only mitztaref if they have the same shiur. But if they don't have the same shiur, then the klal is that you cannot be mitztaref one thing's to the other. Now, here it says anything that's yotzi min hagefen is mitztaref with anything else that's yotzi min hagefen. Seems to be saying even the liquids with the solids. Ve'eino chayav Achi yochal mina anavim kizayit. Now that's interesting. On the one hand, you're saying all things are mitzarif. Okay, let's assume that it means all of the different kind of pieces. So let's say you could have the chartzanim. We're assuming the chartzanim are seeds. We're going to see some machlokas. So you could have a kizayit that's made out of chartzanim and skins, and actually the grape or grapes themselves. And if you put all of that together, then you would be chayev, but you would be chayev only on a shear of kezayit. Okay? Now, according to the Mishnah Rishonah, the shear would be, and the Mishnah Rishonah remembers the way that the Mishnah existed before Rebbe concluded his formulation of the Mishnah. We always have had a Mishnah along with us in terms of Teresh Shebaal Peh, and the earlier formulations of the way people would pass down Mishnayos had it that in order to be chayev, you'd have to drink a revius of yayin. So that would mean that the shear for shtiyah would be a pure cup of wine of one revius. Whereas Rabbi Akiva says, but then if you say that, you're not including in the pasuk mishrat. It says in the pasuk that there's another thing that's involved, and that was specifically the whole Mishrat Anavim lo yishte. Well, Mishrat Anavim doesn't mean wine, does it? Mishrat Anavim means something that was soaked in grape products. So, I mean, suppose you take a piece of bread and you soak it in wine, and you're telling me that you'd have to drink a cup of wine, but the pasuk is saying that you could actually eat a piece of bread that was dipped in wine, and you have in total the shear of a kezayit, that would mean that you would be chayiv. So first of all, Rabbi Akiva seems to, there's a machlokas we showing him how far we should take Rabbi Akiva. But the Tosis's approach, and many of the Rishonim, is that Rabbi Akiva is saying two very different things than what we just read. First of all, he's saying, I don't know where you get the idea that you have to be drinking the wine. You could be eating the wine. And it doesn't have to be that shear that you said of a revias of wine. Suppose you dip bread in wine. And now, including the bread, but the bread isn't aser. Yes, but the Torah said mishrat. So then that would mean that when it comes to the dinim of Nazir, there would be this new halacha that would be called heter mitzaref leisur. So that means that Rabbi Akiva is saying two things that are very different from what we just read. First of all, he says, forget about a revias. We could talk about a kizayit. And secondly, he's saying that kizayit doesn't even have to be made out of liquid. That kizayit could actually be made with bread that was soaked in liquid, and it would still be mitzaref if between the bread and the wine you would have a shear of kizayit. Now, that means, it's very interesting because there are some mefarshim, including the Bar Tanura, who understands this to mean that the Tanakama had held the opposite, and that the shear, if you're talking about tziruf, if according to Rabbi Akiva, not only we have tziruf, but we have heter mitztaref, even as heter, so then if you're talking about the tziruf of the various pieces, it would mean that everything would have the shear of a revias, the opposite of Rabbi Akiva, and that the first statement that we had in the Mishnah was a mirror image of Rabbi Akiva. And that is that you'd have to have the pure ingredients, but the shear of those pure ingredients, when they're mitzuraf, the food with the drink, would be the shear of the drink. Whereas Rabbi Akiva is the one who says, no, if you're mitzaref, the shear is the shear of the kizayit, which is the shear of achila. And furthermore, you could even use heter. You wouldn't need the tziruf of all of the different parts of the wine. Whew, serious stuff here. So if you're shara pito b'yayin v'yeshba k'dei l'tzarev kizayit, you'd be chayev. Now, what about the way that the pasuk separates all of these different things? So we said all of these things are mitzaref, but are you chayev on each one individually? Is each one of the mentions in the pasuk, is it a separate lav in which the Torah has stated that miyayin v'shechar yazir, chometz yayin, and so on, lo yishte, mishrat anavim, lo yishte, anavim lachim yaveshim, lo yochal, my goodness, mechartzanim ve'atzag, lo yochal, this is a repetition of isurei lavim. So, you would be chayev on each one of them separately. Chayav ala yayin bifnei atzman, ala anavim bifnei atzman, ala chartzanim bifnei atzman, the al-hazagim bifnei atzman. So any one of these would be b'chayev you malkas. And if you ate them all together with a shear of each one, then you would be chayev a kezayas, one kezayas of anavim, one kezayat of zagim, one kezayat of chartzanim. You'd be chayev on everyone separately. We wouldn't say you're chayev for being over on naziris. You are chayev for being over on naziris. Besides that, by the way, which is the loya chal devaro. Yes, absolutely. We even learned before that in the case of Tuma, you'd also be chayev for bal ta'acher because you're putting off your naziris ta'ira, the way the Gemara came out. Fine. But we're talking about over here specifically the Yisuri Achila. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer, Eno chayav ad shiyochal shnei chartzanim vizagam. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah has a different take on the closing of the pasuk. And when the pasuk repeats at the end, Michartzanim ad zag, what is that? A very strange way of saying not to eat grapes, especially considering that you said beferish not to eat grapes. So what's the meaning of repeating at the end, Michartzanim ad zag lo yochal? From the pips to the skins, don't eat it. Okay, you could just say the grape. The grape is the pips to the skin. No, I don't know. So what is that coming to tell me? Says Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, what that's coming to tell me is that you need to understand that this special iser of not eating pips and skins, we're going to see it's a machlokas, which is which, but Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah buys into the pshat, which is very poshet in the pasuk, that is michartzanim, which is Loshen Rabim, Adzag, which is Loshen Yochid, certainly seems to be saying from the pips to the skin. There is a shita that we're going to see later on the Mishnah. That's Rabbi Yosi's shita, but we'll see that actually Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. But Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is going according to this approach. So since it says b'chatzani matzag, it means that you would not be chayev unless you ate the skin of a grape together with its pips. Okay, so if that's the case, eino chayav, you have to have at least two seeds of the grape that you're eating together with the skin. Now, just in general, how do we define those words, chatzanim and zagim? Elohim chatzanim and Elohim zagim. The chatzanim is the skin, the chitzonim. And the zagim is the pnimim, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Because Rabbi Yossi says, listen, that is totally confused. Just to make sure that you do not make the mistake that my esteemed colleague here is making. Shalotita, there's an easy way to remember this, okay? When you see the cow, there you go. There's that beautiful cow walking down the street, and it's got a bell around its neck, and it's making all these pretty sounds, okay? What is the bell called? It's called a zag, because the inside part is the inbal that keeps clanking against the zag. Well, why would you think that the meaning of the zag on a grape is any different? So a zag on a grape is the same as a zag on a bell, and that's an easy way to remember it. It's called the zug and the behemah, and over here it's called the zag. And shalotite, it's exactly the same as the zug shel behemah, which we refer to with the outside piece of metal. The chitzon is the zug, and the pnimi is the inbal. Okay, now it turns out that this leads to a deeper understanding of the way the Torah is meant to be understood throughout Kol HaTorah Kula, which is quite remarkable, that we should look at the Zeh HaDavar and make that the moker for how it is that we learn to look at a pasuk that is complex as this one is, enlisting various types of pratim and klalim in strange orders. How do we understand the pasuk? So first of all, let's just take a look at the opening of the Mishnah that says Shlosha minim asurim binazir and so on, and then it says Hayotzei min hagefen. So that's mashma that only the Yotzei min hagefen is osur to the nazir, but the gefen itself is not osur to the nazir. Now look, the seeds are not generally looked as foodstuffs. I mean, people don't eat seeds. And they don't eat just the skins of grapes, right? Nonetheless, the Torah has included that. So we have some very significant differences between what I would have called a standard interpretation and this particular case. Now, would that even include pieces of the vine that you wouldn't even mean, which normally referring to edibles, you wouldn't have included? Like, you know, I mean, branches that are too thick to really eat. I mean, yes, there are these nice soft shoots on a vine, but there's also things that you wouldn't eat because they're too hard. They've become really basically cellulose, and therefore you wouldn't be eating them. So that seems to be what the Mishnah is saying, that you're only going to be chayav on a yotzim and a gefen, which are the standard output of the vine, but not the vine itself. That's what it's focusing on. Now, that would mean, however, that the Mishnah straight out is telling us that it's not going on Libra Rabbi Elazar. Why? Because the Tanya Rabbi Elazar himself holds that when the Torah talks about anything that comes, kol ayotzim and agefen, so then if that's the case, the Torah is coming to be marva, afilu alim velulavim. So that would mean that even the leaves, and of course people do actually eat leaves as long as they use it as a, you know, to wrap your meat in and everything. That's a very beautiful dish. Rice is wrapped with grape leaves, or meat, chopped meat wrapped with grape leaves. So the leaves do serve on some level as a foodstuff, even though not on their own to be eaten as leaves. But therefore, Tanya's Rabbi Elazar, that actually the Torah is specifically adding even the alim and the kind of shoots that are at least edible. So alim velulavim would be included. If you can chew it, then you can eat it, even though it's not really viewed as food. Ikari Ami, now some learned that we would not have been medayik from the beginning of the Mishnah against Rebbe Elazar. But we can be medayik from the next piece of the Mishnah, for sure, against Rebbe Elazar. So, and that would be from where? Ikri Amri La Seifa. Since in the Seifa it says that Eno Chayav Ela At Yochal Min HaAnavim Kizayit. Why does the Mishnah stress until you eat the grapes? Why dafka the grapes? Why not from the actual leaves or from the shoots? This is the old book about the comma teaches you know how important a comma is. Shoots and leaves. That's the question. Okay, so how do we know there that it's mashma dafka mina anavim, but from the gefen itself not? So that implies, so if we would have just said anything made, I mean, you're taking for granted that anything that's mi gefen ayayin, I mean, that from the beginning doesn't necessarily disprove Rebbe Elazar. I mean, Rebbe Elazar says that's included. Okay. But what we're saying over here is, but it, definitely we know it's not that way because it says, Yochum mina anavim. Why would it say mina anavim? That for sure is the local Rebbe Elazar. So matnitin the local Rebbe Elazar. Because Rebbe Elazar said in the Brayta, afilo alim velulavim b'mashma, and that would mean that it's certainly not anavim. Okay? So we know now that we should see the Mishnah as a whole as not referring to Rebbe Elazar. So where does this machlokas come from, actually? I mean, the words are the same, where you're just deciding whether to include kol asher yaseh megefen ayayin to be more inclusive or less inclusive. What is it based on? Ah, says the Gemara, it's based on an extremely primal question about how the Torah is structured for drushes. And this, of course, is a machlokas we've had many, many times, and it's a part of the introduction of the Sifra, and it's the famous question of to be darshaning the Torah as ribuye or miyute, or to be darshaning the Torah in klale uprate. So we have two very different approaches bichlal. If you learn that the Torah goes according to klal uprat, so then that means that we see it structured very much along certain logical lines in which you will have broader inclusions that create sets. And everything is in terms of those sets. The prat defines the actual content of the set that is then given the name of the klal, which is the set. But if you hold ribuye umiyute, it means that the Torah does not work with sets. It actually works with items. And therefore, the question is, what would we exclude or what we include in a statement? How strictly do we define a statement? And that is defined by the structure of the pasuk. The truth is that that's true also in the matter of sets. There's a big difference between a klal and a prat, or a prat and a klal. But when it comes to klal prat uklal, or prat klal uprat, there is not that much difference between them. We're going to be looking into this as we go along. So let's let the sugya expand itself gradually, because first it takes a lot for granted, which is usually the way things are in the way the Gemara proceeds, and then we will zero in on the particulars. So Rebbe Elazar takes the general approach of ribuy miyute. Okay, so expansions, limitations, or whether we have klal uprat, which is we're discussing names of sets and then getting into the details of those sets, specific details. So let's take a look at how Rebbe Elazar looks at this pasuk. Now, there's something that is really anomalous about the way that Gemara is explaining this, and that is that when we're going to look at the way Rebbe Elazar looks at the pasuk, it turns out he's not really a perfect image of the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan really do deal with this in terms of klal prat uklal, even though the specific case we're talking about is prat klal uprat, as we'll see. Rebbe Elazar does not have a three-piece analysis in terms of ribu and miyute. So he doesn't have miyut, ribu, miyut. He only has miyut, riba. And the reason is that the closing of that's going to take us some time till we discover this, but it's confusing. So I just want to tell you up front. The reason is, as we're going to see later, is that the Micharzanim Atzag, which is, closes the series here, is used by him in the Mishnah to tell me this strange halacha that the Torah is specifying the need to actually eat the pips and the skin from the same grape. So according to him, that's a separate issue. It's not coming to describe what is included. It's talking about how it's included. And therefore, he doesn't include that in the list in the Pasuk. But remember that if you read the Pasuk as the description of what's included, so then you end up with a rather confusing Pasuk. Miyayin v'shechar yazir, that talks about specifically yayin and shechar. Chometz yayin v'chometz shechar lo yishte. Again, saying something about an expanded nature of drinking, that even if it's not very high-quality drink, it's chometz, it's now ruined wine. The chomishrat anavim lo yishte, that we had sort of as a new idea, according to Rabbi Akiva, we'll have to see how the chachamim deal with it. Anavim lachim v'yaveshim lo yochal, then we move on to eating. Ko yemei nizro mikol asher ye'aseh migefen hayayin, which is obviously a klal. It's inclusive, you would have thought, of all of the above. And then a repetition of specificity, micharzanim v'atzag lo yochal. A strange way to construct a pasuk. So, Rabbi Elazar says, well, first of all, cut out the last piece. The last piece, as I told you, in the Mishnah, is coming to tell me a special halacha of micharzanim v'atzag. So what we really have is a derech of ribui and miyute, except that in this case, it's miyute v'ribui. Take a look at how the pasuk is constructed, says Rabbi Elazar. Miyayin v'shechar yazir. So you specify yayin and shechar, now that is a miyut, together with all of the other miyutim, which we're talking about, the vinegar and so on. And then it has a very expanded statement. Anything. Kol asher yaseh migefen hayayin. Anything. Now, what's the rule in such cases if you darshan the Torah along the lines of miyut v'riba? Well, that would mean riba hakol. So then the Torah is coming to just exclude one item, and that was whatever the single miyut was for. But everything else is included. So my riba kol mili. So now we're including even the leaves and the shoots. My miyut. So then what in the world would be excluded by the particular list at the beginning, which does not mean only that list? It's miyut shabishta. The only thing that it excludes is the actual wood itself that you cannot even eat. You can't chew it. So it's totally not edible. And that is the way that we always determine what is excluded in a miyut v'riba. The thing that is least likely to be included in the topic under discussion. So since the topic under discussion is edible and potable, it excludes chewing a piece of wood and somehow managing to swallow it. That Rebbe Elazar agrees. That's not included. The Rabbanan, on the other hand, they're darshi klali oprati. Now, as I said, the Rabbanan have three parts to the Pasuk as opposed to Rebbe Elazar's two parts, because they don't learn from the last part of the Pasuk of micharzanim v'atzag. They don't learn that that means that you have to eat the micharzanim and zag of the same grape. So let's see what they do with this Pasuk. Yayin v'shechar yazir is obviously a prat, which continues on to include even the vinegar. Okay. And then we have something that is clearly a klal. Mikol asher ye'aseh migefen hayayin, anything at all. And then we close with another very much a prat. Micharzanim v'atzag. So what do we got? Another prat. Chozer uprat. Now the din of a prat, klal uprat, is very similar to a klal prat uklal. And until we get further in the sugya, we won't understand the differences between them. But there are subtle differences between them, and there are subtle dinim about klal prat uklal that we're not talking about here either, which is, again, because of the fact that we're dealing with a structure, The question is whether we look at the structure as being the initial part is the most definitive, or whether the closing is the most definitive, which makes a very big difference of how broadly we construe the set to be. And that is because a prat and a klal would be mosif on the prat totally, and a prat and a klal and a prat would be memayat the klal totally, and would be similar to a miut and a ribui, the prat and the klal. So if that's the case, if that's the case, we'll just take it right now simply and learn that prat klal of prat and klal prat of klal is basically the same. And the din is, iata dan elika ina prat. So that means if you have a posik like this, which is constructed along the lines of defining sets, then you need to first define the nature of the set, and then anything that fits into that set will be included. The way to define the nature of the set is to find the common denominator of the issues that were mentioned in the context of the set here. And therefore, we have to take a look at what is the set. Well, let's take a look. All of the things that we spoke about when it came to the description of the specifics here, that was all pre or psolet pre. I mean, it was referring to things like wine, grapes, or it was referring to wine that's turned sour, vinegar. So that's a psolet pre. So then we should add that that is the name of the set. Pre upsolet pre. So anything that's under that category would be included. And that would mean that if you've got something which is generally looked at as a pre, so let's say you have very early growth of grapes, okay, guharki, we're going to call it, simadar. So that level of grape is not really ready for consumption. It's not mature. Nonetheless, it's certainly called a pre, isn't it? And how about a grape that no one would actually eat because it's wormy or it's spoiled? So is that called a pre? No, but it's called psolet pre. In the same way that nobody would drink vinegar directly, but you use the vinegar. Okay, so if that's the case, let's include in our new prat klal prat something that wasn't mentioned in the pasuk, which is immature fruit and spoiled fruit. So it's all wormy now. Now, the question is, what gives you the right to do that? I mean, you could define the set as meaning pre-gomor, right? I mean, after all, the things that we speak about are a pre that has already... Show me anywhere in the pasuk where it mentions an immature pre, please. Not one place. So therefore, where did you get the idea that you had a right to define the set so broadly that anything that is vaguely called a fruit, even though it hasn't reached a level of being a consumable fruit, is included? I don't know. Where did you get that right? I mean, you can define the set strictly, or you can define the set loosely. Now, you're claiming that we have a very loose definition of the set. How do you know? Maybe you should say, just like everything mentioned here has been a real completed fruit, then anything that we're going to include has to also be a real completed fruit. And therefore, I don't know that you have a right to say that something that's immature would be included. And I don't also necessarily believe that when you're talking about a fruit that is psolet, would you really call vinegar psolet? It's a lower quality, but it's something that you walk into the makolet to buy all the time. So what do you mean psolet to include even wormy and spoiled fruit? Where do you get that from? That's stretching the envelope of what you mean by chometz. So what you've done is you've stretched the envelope on both ends. You've said that the nature of the set includes anything that I wouldn't think about when I'm talking about production of the vine, even the early fruit non-edible, and even the post-production non-edible. I mean, say non-edible, meaning that it's not usually eaten. And you've included that. Maybe we should define it strictly. Answers the Gemara, what the Chachamim would tell you is, Amrit, for heaven's sakes, try that, okay? So what in the world would be the point of creating a set? There's not a single thing that hasn't been spelled out. The point of a set is that it is meant to include more than its definition of the specifics that you used as examples. So what's the name of the set? If it's the things that the Pesuk spelled out, there was no need to create a prat, klal, or prat. Just tell me what's included. What did you make a set out of it for by saying, mikol asher yetzei migevin? That's a meaningless statement. You told me everything that you meant to include, okay? Tell me what wouldn't have been included. Go ahead. Tell me one thing that your brilliant set would now include that wasn't spelled out specifically in this pasuk anyway, if you think that we could actually use this prat klal uprat in a limited way. What? For instance, anavim, what you want to talk about? Fresh grapes? You want to talk about raisins? It says that, beferish, in the pasuk, okay? You want to talk about wine, vinegar? It says that, beferish. So tell me what you're adding. I'm telling you that the only way to explain the fact that the Torah goes out of its way to create a set is by using the broader envelope and the definition of the set, which would allow us to include, as I say, immature fruit, or fruit that is no longer something people would eat. It's wormy or it's spoiled. Now, says the Gemara, ultimately that means that we would be able to include Miachish Sofenu Lurabot Kol Davar. If Lamaisa, the point is over here, as a klal prat uklal. So couldn't we simply have said a prat uklal? Because, I mean, why do I need Chartzanim Adzag over here? Couldn't I have just included the Chartzanim Adzag in, if you're telling me, well, I mean, how would you know something that's not generally viewed as edible? Okay, fine, so list that with the beginning list. In other words, what you did over here is you went out of your way to create a prat klal uprat. What would have been wrong if you would have said the Chartzanim Adzag together with the Anavim and the Mishrat Anavim and Anavim Lachim, Vyaveshim, Micharzanim Vatzag, and then closed it with Kol Asher Yaseh Migefen Hayayin. And then we would have the same information, wouldn't we? Oh, you might have the same information, all right, about what the Nazir can eat, but you will not have the same information about how to understand the Torah's structure. That's the problem. And by separating it out in this way, and forcing the reader to read a prat klal uprat and think to himself, what a strange way to structure a pasuk. Not the way I would have done it. I would either have listed all of the pieces or I would have listed the klal up front. I don't know. Is there meaning to this? Aha, that's exactly what it's coming to tell you. It's lomar lecha. It's there to teach you a beautiful example of these halachas that we were makabel. If we hadn't had Micharzanim Va'adzag at the end of the pasuk, what would we have had? We would have had a list of pratim followed by Mikol Asher Yaseh Migefen Hayayin. And you're saying to yourself, oh, well, okay, I mean, that's what we do have, isn't it? No, Bara, absolutely not. You would not be allowed, Iyata Rishai Lamashcho, you would have no right whatsoever to actually create a set at all and to say that the name of this set are all things similar to this described inclusion. It would not be true, and you would not have a set. In fact, what would have happened is, Naseh klal musaf al haprat. By adding at the end, Mikol Asher Yaseh Migefen Hayayin, I would have ended up believing what Rebbe Elazar believes. And that is anything at all that comes from the Gefen Hayayin, including shooting and leaving. It would even mean that that would be included as well. So therefore, I now have understood, you see, that there is a din of prat klal uprat, and that's the only reason that we end up being mosif l'rabot kol davar. It isn't true we were l'rabot kol davar, my dear. We were l'rabot kol davar that fits the set. We wouldn't have had a set if it wouldn't have been for that. And therefore, we would have used those pratim to be memayit only something specific, which would have meant the wood, complete cellulose. Okay. Now, can I look at that a little bit more closely? I want to make sure I understand what it is you were referring to. Let's review your statement. Omar Mar, Mahaprat Mefarash Pri Upsolet Pri Avko Pri Upsolet Pri. What were you referring to when you said Pri? No, Pri, it says Anavim. Okay, fine. And what were you referring to when you said Psolet Pri? Well, that's Chometz. I mean, Chometz is clearly a wine that has gone sour, right? So that's a Psolet Pri. Okay, now, okay, I understand that. Now, let me understand what you were adding. So you're saying, the set includes pre-upsolet pri, and therefore it shall be also applied to afkol, meaning what? Afkol pri. Tell me what you meant. I meant, let's say, guharki. I said, guharki are grapes that are not really edible yet. They're too small. They're very sour. So they're immature. So that's what I mean to include by kol pri. Anything which would be a pre. This is also a pre, isn't it? I mean, it's not the same as the delicious grape, but it's still a pre. And when you said I want to expand it to include any other psolet pre, what would you mean? Omer of Kana, well, that would mean lituye invim dichrin. That would mean to include anavim that have turned wormy. Okay? Now, the meaning of mechartzanim va'adzag, what exactly is that? I don't quite get how that's different. Well, what is va'ad zag? I mean, I understand chartzanim and zagim is important because it's not usually things that we view as edible. A teaspoon of grape seeds? I mean, who's going to eat that? Chewing on the seeds? But what's the va'ad zag? I mean, is there something between the chartzanim and the zag? Yes, says Ravina, there is indeed. I mean, suppose you would isolate grape pulp. Okay, people don't eat grape pulp, they eat grapes. I mean, there's a big difference between eating something mushy, like just grape pulps. I mean, just, can you imagine buying grape pulp to eat? It's sort of a, ugh. But, I mean, that's really what you're doing when you pop a grape into your mouth. Yeah, I know, but like, there's something different about that, isn't it? I mean, then it turns out to be one yummy poppy kind of thing with a certain crispness to it and so on. Now, all that's lost if I've turned the va'ad, which includes that. So the va'ad is coming to be included here in the same way that even though you say, well, that's not normally the way you consume a grape. True. And neither is eating just skins or eating just seeds. And that's the point of the pasuk. You could take a grape and you would still be chayav on the isurei nazir by reducing it to its constituent parts. Okay. So let me go over again what you said because I want to understand it. So you said, Ma haprat mefurash, why don't we say? Ima haprat mefurash pri gamur, why don't we say instead of what we just said, that we could include all of these garbagey things, why don't we say it the other way? The things mentioned are pri gamur, so then let's expand it by saying that the set is a set of all fully completed perot. And so you said, well, okay, beautiful, but then you haven't given me any information. Then you're telling me that the pasuk is there not to provide any new information. Because im kein mahini achakatuba mashma'o shelo amaro. So there's nothing left to add, okay? Because what would you add to a limited set like that? You would say, what? Maybe to teach me, ya anovim, lachim v'yveshim? It says that. To teach me, maybe, yayin v'chometz? It says that. So you see clearly, ha'ein alecha ladun kalashon ha'acharon, ele kalashon rishon. Okay, I think I understand that. And then we said, if in the end we're going to be marba everything, so then why did we construct it in this weird way to have the closing of mechartzanim va'adzag? Ah, that was to teach me the very meaning of how to build a set in the Torah. In order to build a set, you have to include the pratim separately from the klal on either end. Umar lecha koma kom shata motzei prat uklal. if you wouldn't have had the Michartzanim Vatzak at the end, you would have no right to extend the envelope by calling it a set. You can't extend, there's no expansion, literally uses the same word. You can't expand the envelope, lodunu ki'ina prat, and to make it a set that would add, it would rather be a klal musaf al haprat, and that would mean that the Torah is adding anything unless it closes with another prat, kederach shepiret lecha benazir, so Nazir becomes the remez in the Torah to the entire concept of the limud of prat, klal, uprat by being constructed in this weird way. And according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, I'm very confused. You explained the structure of the entire pasuk according to the Chachamim, but even though you began by claiming that you're going to explain to me how Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah utilizes ribuy and miut, you didn't explain how he applies the rules of ribuy and miut to the closing piece. He only had two pieces. He had the list of what you're calling pratim, together with what you're calling a klal, which he calls a ribuy, which is the mikol asher yaseh gefen hayayin. But how come he didn't mention anything about the chartzanim adzag? So then, according to him, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, assuming that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah holds like you that there's prat, klal, or prat, well, he uses, this is a sneaky way of explaining to us why it is that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah has not included the drasha of Chartzanim Adzag, obviously, because we know the answer before we ask the question. So according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, assuming that he would agree with you about prat, klal, or prat, how would he know it? After all, he uses Michartzanim Adzag not to teach us a halacha of closure of prat, klal, or prat. He uses it to tell me, Achi yochal shnei chartzanim vazag shalahem. Prat amin ole. Where does he get the idea of prat, klal, uprat? Aha, that's the whole point, you see. The Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah holds like Rebbe Elazar. And he learns like the Rebbe Elazar that we mentioned just now in the Braisa. That is the sheet of Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah, actually, in the Mishnah. That he is Deresh Miut Veribui, and therefore he does not agree that there's any of this stuff about Pral, Prat, Klal, Uprat. So therefore the way he understands it is that we only have a Miut and a Ribui, and that ends up teaching us exactly what a Klal, a Prat and a Klal would have taught, according to you, and would have ended up teaching us that you would include even the leaves and the shoots. Now, we're still leaving, of course, a tremendous amount here hanging in the air, because now it's coming out that it appears that Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah could just as well have darshan not miut v'ribui, have darshan prat uklal, but be left with the klal without the closure of the last piece, because he's using it to teach me something else. And you said that in the event that the Chachamim would not have been able to close the Prat Klal Uprat, they would have had to include it shooting and leaving, I mean, shoots and leaves in the din, right? But then that is what Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah holds. Okay, so all of this remains open in a broad discussion of the understanding of the nature of Mibuy Miyute and Klal Uprat to be continued Bezrat Hashem tomorrow, with the grace of the Lord. All right, everyone. Whew, it's good to be back at work and to be able to see you all. I missed you last night. I can't really say I missed you last night. I was in too much agony to miss you. I missed me last night. But okay, this morning I missed you last night. Kol tov, everyone. Have a grand day and besurot tovot.